This is a recording done on December 12th, 2016. That's it.
Good day.
All right, good.
So I'm going to play a recording, and I hope you can hear it. And it's with futurist Gerard Leonhard, L-E-O-N-H-A-R-D, Gerard, G-E-R-D. And he's doing a keynote, I guess recently, at a conference called Smart Port Rotterdam. And it's for the next 10 years is what he's covering. So we are going to start recording it right now. And I will stop you, or you can interrupt at any point. But I'll stop when I think a comment's required.
So, first of all, I want to say the future is better than we think. No, when you... Well, that's
the... Just that statement, Ion. The future is better than we think. We would say that, but you also create a lot of... you also project a lot of, quote, bad news as well. Is that the way to say it, or would you say...
No. See, there's no future. There's only now. So now all you're saying is my now is better than it was. Well, it's not a past tense. See, it's not a problem. The high-mindedness of the future is better than we thought means it's not as black as black as black. Well, how black is black? Now, you see the rub is you're projecting something into the future. And we say you can change that at a drop. Some people say, well, that's F. And he goes, oh, well, that's negative. No, we're positive. You're really F. So it becomes a different conversation from a perspective. So there is no future, number one. So whether it being blacker or whiter or richer or poorer or better or worse is nebulous because that changes. You can be the king eating poison and have a bad day right after that.
Very good. Yeah, I get that. Okay, let's continue. And Carolyn has arrived. Okay.
Let's take Trump outside of that equation. We'll talk in a minute, but the future...
He said, let's take Trump out of that equation. We'll talk about that in a minute. I assume that Trump is going to be a big factor in his now. Would you agree?
It's going to change everything, yes.
More than this futurist realized, even though you haven't heard his talk, you can project that you're going to include factors that Trump that will do that this keynote is not going to include. Okay, let's go through the details.
That's better than we think because many of us are worried about the future. And I go to lots of places and talk about the future, and many people are saying they're worried about robots taking our jobs or, you know, robots killing us and, you know, all these things. So if we leave out the Hollywood stories of world domination of robots, we actually have many, many good things to look forward to. Here's a list provided by my colleague, Frank Diana. Basically, if you're looking on the left, we're going to see ubiquitous information. We're going to see the solution of world problems like diseases being solved, eliminated, increased longevity, the shift in energy. I mean, we're talking about a vast amount of scientific accomplishment.
Aha, that's a good... Okay, did you hear that?
Okay.
The comment on disease will be eliminated, that's very optimistic scientific accomplishments.
No, you're going to get better at disease. See, do you understand? You separate yourself from your power. When you do that, then you become a little man. Now you have to fight really, really hard to stay a little man. We would like to say that he's giving that as a positive response. We say that as a negative response. There shouldn't be any lack of ease anyway. You created, you're going to, it's getting harder for you to keep people dying, which is negative, but it's in reverse. So people are living forever. The ones that live forever are. Wait a minute, you all are eternal. Wait a minute. So it's very challenging to keep making plagues bad enough to take so many of you, Piscopay, out. So the rub or the flip or the conversation becomes, oh my goodness, you mean it's that much? It takes a lot of energy to make all these deaths and destructions that are killing everybody. To give all the doctors something to do, to keep them people from dying, but that's what they do, is they help them die. They don't make them better, they help them out, meaning out of this body. four times than not. It's more and more and more challenging. As Dr. Dean most graciously will tell you, these days, it's very difficult to expire in ICU. They take over every bodily function. It's almost impossible to die. Even though you're stone cold dead, they won't let you die. But that's the point. They want you at death's door, so there's plenty to do there. Okay? Only the sick have need of a physician. So what he's trying to say is that they're going to reduce disease. No, they're running out of diseases to cause.
All right. So there will be more people living healthier, but there will be a lot of dying going on also?
Yeah.
More?
It's the other half of Hillary's basket of deplorables. The other half will probably...
They'll probably what? Probably die?
Fight it.
Okay, let's see what the next thing he says. That was very interesting. You're bringing a little more complexity into it. I know... You've told us about, treat diseases successfully, little man will make more diseases, even worse. They just can't stop it. Correct?
Well, they have so far, but see, now, just take chickenpox, for example. They got chickenpox. Well, that wasn't enough, so now you get over it. Once you have chickenpox, you're done with it. Well, they turn it into the damn shingles, Bob, so now you can have chickenpox the rest of your life. Every time you get low, it can jump on you, this virusy thing. It's ridiculous. They just keep building it into these craziness things. The next thing you know, and that's all because they had a little bit of Zovirax that they couldn't sell any other way. But who in the hell in the right mind would take Zovirax in the first place unless you had the damn chickenpox or the shingles? There you go. So it's the chase carting the horse's gait. The case chasing the horse's gait.
Okay. Case, C-A-S-E.
Yeah, the problem, the case, what you chart is the case file.
Gotcha, good. Okay.
Finally actually happening. Take a very trivial one, like machine language understanding. We've been working on this for, I don't know, 50 years, that's finally working. Machines can actually understand what we're saying in most languages, and they can actually talk to us now. So in a year or two, we're going to be talking to machines, just like we're doing the typing now, and it becomes normal. So imagine that, you know, you can actually speak to a machine, as some people would say, like a friend, which is a strange formulation. But in any case, you can communicate with machines like this. So I think that's really positive. But then we have a couple of things that are an issue. Technological unemployment, fake friendships, dehumanized society, pandemics, loss of free will, if you believe that to be a problem. So there's a few things around us that worry us about the future. Right, Doc?
Okay, just got to wait till the lawnmower. This Garrett Leonard is projecting speech recognition, us talking to the machines and not typing. You're saying that that situation will not be made by their cloud.
Right. It's why it keeps going. It's when your language went into text talk to text, when you became the texting.
Yeah.
See, that's the same thing. That just replaced it. Well, you could do that. OMG was the BFD. We're communicating right there. But not a word was spoken. Just some letters said that mean something. That's the alpha numeric construct. So all you're trying to say is that you can replace that at any time with anything, just like your code. That's why I assembled the all of the Fortran and the COBOLs and all the different languages and the ones and zeros. We've eliminated that, so he doesn't know which speak to speak. It's like, remember the king's speech, Bob?
Yeah.
Well, the king didn't know what to say. That's why he couldn't speak. No, he didn't know what he was talking about, so he didn't know what to say. Even when he knew what to say, he was afraid it was the wrong thing to say, so it came out as a stammering, lisping jumble. Made him as a response in the meeting. Blah, 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 blah. But he doesn't know the language to speak, so he has to learn that language, and he will.
Okay, but so you're saying the present cloud would not be able to make what this Garrett Leonard is projecting?
What he should be saying is, when you have lack of ease, the cloud won't allow you to have that ease, this ease.
I see.
it'll take care of it. Whenever it shows up, it'll take care of it. Whenever it's up, boom, take care of it. Smell this, look this, lick that, taste that, poop this, don't poop this, have it, eat it, don't eat it, do it, take care of it. And then it won't even tell you that anymore. Just like when you came into the automated car or the television, you started off with a 6-inch screen, then it went to the size of a building, side of a building. Now you're right back to watching your telephone, which is a 6-inch screen. Okay? That technology came right back to where it started, and it obfuscated and obsolesced itself, but you still are watching the same 6-inch box that you started with when TV started, when Adolf Hitler was on TV for the very first time. Anyway, I don't give him credit for that. He was the broadcast. That's a mark. That's a mark for the cloud nature that allowed that supremacist place to achieve. So the supremacists, we don't even know how to say it, then are able to do things other people aren't allowed or able to do. So now your machine that you're creating will do everything for you, kind of like what it does for you. Now you would have to hire, Edgar Casey had to hire people to take his notes. All you have to do, Bob, is send yourself an email.
Okay.
You see? You don't have to take notes. You have the notes.
Right.
The machine does that for you. Now, soon it'll be where you don't even have to. Now the recordings, remember the mega upload business?
Yes.
All that stuff, it even saves it for you. It even lines it up for you. It does all these kind of things. It's like with Carolyn's books. She doesn't even almost doesn't have to write the book. She goes through that, but that whole going through, now she can just do it all in 100 blogs, and you got a book. Bam. You're all good. And the machine makes that for you. You don't have to make it.
Okay,
that's the essence of what he's trying to say.
No, it sounds like you're saying that humans have to get to a certain condition of relax before the technology is allowed to manifest. Before the technology would manifest. Isn't that what you started off saying the last 5 minutes?
It's an indirect thing, but it's not a problem between the horse and the cart. It's a matter of the road. The road will drive where the cart and the horse go. So we're adding another element into your conversation. Your statement isn't wrong, but it has nothing to do with the future. It has nothing to do with the machine. It's the road. We can ride on the road, but we don't know the language to ride on that road. So therefore, the machines, when the machines teach you, Bob, the language, then the horse and the cart can ride on the road. But that's the only in-between part.
Okay, well, I'll do this again. He's saying in a couple of years we'll be talking to our computers. And you say, nope, people have to get relaxed. Now, you just talked about the cart and the horse and this and that, and I'd have to re-listen to figure out what you meant. But what he's talking about is going to come forward.
Yes, it will, but that's not the conversation. The conversation is when he's talking to the computer, what are you going to say? You're going to use
why
words? You're going to think, well, you could speak to the angels right now, but you don't know the language. We try to teach you to, and you buck up against it and have a fit, start rolling, killing yourself, falling off cliffs, jumping off bridges, and everything nasty starts happening. When you say one wrong, stray word, you can control. Why wouldn't he get up there and say, soon you can speak to the angels and control the angels, and you won't even need those damn machines. The angels will do it for you. They'll be your foot soldiers. Why isn't he saying that? Well, he's not saying that because he doesn't have a clue, because he doesn't know the language, okay? He's saying, you're going to talk to machines. And we say, okay, which language? The road. The road. Which road are you going to take? You can't speak to the machine if you don't know what to say. If it doesn't understand you, it won't solve your ills. Or your machinatia disease.
Right, so you're saying the scientists that are out there working on this are not going to be successful. You're going to do it. You're going to make
it. He's just reporting what's happening. He's just reporting what's happening. That's the default setting. This is where you stop. It's not good. It's not right. But it's the good news is everything's going to be all right. But no the details of what that means or looks like or smells like.
Okay, so let's go on then. All right, thank you.
I would say it's roughly 90% positive, 10% troublesome. I don't know if you agree, but I think what we need to do is we need to make sure that technology remains the solid human benefit. morally neutral until we apply it.
Do you agree with that statement? Technology is morally neutral until we apply it.
Yeah. It's inane.
Okay. Nothing more to say about that yet.
Mm-hmm. That's like saying termites are not a problem until they eat your house. Okay? But termites are a problem, they just haven't eaten your house yet. There's nothing positive about that.
So then humans start interacting with the technology, then the problems will happen.
Well, then you'll be able to notice the problem. That's the rub. So you can't even notice the problem. That's the rub.
Okay.
See, they don't know enough to know. That's your conversation. So he's all braggadocious about how wonderful things going to be in the sweet by and by, but he doesn't know how to get across the River Jordan. Until you get across the River Jordan, you ain't got to worry about the sweet by and by. You better worry about the dirty here and now. Because the dirty here and now is where you're making these gauging spots. The gauging spots is where you're making the goodness and the badness, the upness and the downness, the sweetness and the bitterness and thereof. And then now it's on. Now you negotiate. So every step of the way, you have to make sure that you're not making a misstep or a wrong step or an out of step. Only because you made a penalty phase for this conversation. There's the rub.
Right, and what did you do with that?
The machine is morally neutral until you cause a problem. Termites aren't a problem until the termites eat your house. So all the things that are morally okay or normal, they're never a problem until they do some destructive thing to you. Then it becomes a problem.
Well, isn't that what he's saying?
Well, no, he's not acknowledging the problem.
Yeah, because the termites could be just right there an inch away from starting to eat. So, you know, that I consider the termites a problem if they're, you know, 10 feet away from my door.
Well, you're a negative.
So she's not. She's aware because she knows, here's why she's not that way. She knows if you don't deal with that, then there's going to be a huge problem. You're going to build a new house or spend thousands on thousands of dollars for fixing this, blah, blah, blah. And so she doesn't want to do that. Carolyn doesn't want that. What she wants to do is she wants to be aware, make whatever treatment necessary to separate herself from the problem that the potential termites cause. She's not got anything against the termites. She just doesn't want to be in her house. So now you bring it into the finite of her position. And she's smart enough to be aware of it to make sure so there's not a problem later. We call it majoring in the minors because she's going to make sure that it's sort of easy as you go. Then there's no big deal, okay? Same thing with the water thing in the bedroom. When you got it fixed, it was good. But if you let it go, it probably knocked your whole house down sooner or later. There you go.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
To talk about...
As far as I can recall, that's how people get away with, not really making a judgment about technology. Oh, it's just how you use it. Oh, it's just... You know, I think it's just
Okay, McLuhan says that's the erroneous position. Technology is going to mold you and shift you in ways you can't anticipate. So you would agree with McLuhan, Ion, that technology is not neutral. When you start using it, it'll do things to you that you didn't foresee.
Correct. It is not neutral at all. It's not neutral at all.
Okay, so you agree with McLuhan there. Come on, Carolyn, let's cut down with mute yourself or something. So these terms they got here on the video, 90% positive, 10% troublesome. Those are to project positive or negative, silly.
Well, and if you were going to do that, reverse the numbers. It's 90-10 instead of 10-90.
Because little man's doing it.
Correct.
You agree with that?
Well, the little man's not always, but little man's causing it. Without little man, you wouldn't be having this conversation.
All right, so generally this guy's starting off positive. We'll see how much he goes into non-positive, but he's trying to project a positive future, and that's not a wise position, what he's doing.
Well, it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. It's like using all your energy to write blogs that nobody reads. What's the point?
Okay, coming up to...
So, wait. Now, did you get that? Now, we said those words, but that's not even the conversation. The conversation is, where is the blog? If you don't have the machine to put the blog on, then you're just writing them. You see? We're talking about the blog when we're actually trying to convey it about the machine. If the machine would read the blog and the machine would write the blog and the machine would know the blog, you wouldn't need the blog. It could fix it. It could solve it. It could know it. It could keep the termite moved away to somebody else's house. And we wouldn't have to talk about the machine, the house, the termites, or the blog. That's the difference. Do you, is that clearer? Clear as mud, Bob? Not as clear as mud.
It's not clear
as mud.
What you're saying.
Clear as mud. Good. Then we're doing good, Ian. We're doing good.
Well, you're going to get on. Get off mute, Carolyn, if you're going to say something. Well, don't say anything. So, until you finish there. Okay. So I don't know what you're saying. We'll just carry on and you'll qualify.
Okay.
Okay. He just said William Gibson, science fiction author.
That's very important. Everything you're doing here in the smart port, the smart city.
What did he say about Gibson? I got to go back slightly. Okay.
Morally neutral until we apply it. William Gibson, science fiction author, said this is very important. Everything you're doing here in the smart port, the smart city, and the smart whatever, right, needs to be weighed against that benefit. And of course, you know, this is all, of course, the world used to be a much better place before Trump came around. So I may have to adjust this to be 10-9.
Well, that's silly. He said the world was a better place till Trump came around. Man, these idiots, they don't know what Trump's going to do. And you've told, you basically, Ian, say Trump's going to be a huge success. I don't know who will think he's successful.
He already is a huge success.
Okay, many people would probably. Well, what about the future? You may be good, okay, now, but he didn't do it. Obama did it. Okay, so let's just carry on.
When he comes to power, we'll talk about that in January. Very important to realize is the future is, I talk about this all the time, the future is not just an extension of the present. In fact, it used to be. We used to be able to say, well, we did this in the past, and now in the future we're going to do that, but just make it a little bit better. Like the car company. German car company is very well known for making things better, for production, but they didn't see the automated autonomous driving. They didn't see the electric car coming. They kind of did, kind of ignored it, but now they're there. So the future actually is quite different than the present. In many cases, you could say it's quite likely most companies in 10 years either won't exist or most of their business will be in other areas. I mean, Apple is a great example. Apple makes about 60% of their revenues now from the iPhone. And as you know, we've bought enough iPhones. So Apple is going to have to reinvent in 7 years. It's probably going to be money or medical or health. Constant reinvention. The great book by Kevin Kelly, one of my mentors from San Francisco, who says that the world is all about becoming something now. It's kind of a strange thing, but we're constantly becoming something else. And that is a real challenge, I think, in technology, but many things. So we're looking at this as, you know, we're living in an exponential world. The world is changing exponentially.
Stop.
Okay, they have a statement here on a slideshow. The future is no longer just an extension of the present. What would you say to that statement? Or whatever you were going to say.
Well, that's the stopping part. They're merged. What he's trying to say is that everything is wonderful because everything is merging. And we say, okay, but it's still burning. So the whole thing is a bit cross. The whole statement is out.
Right. There's no future in your term. So the future is no longer, whether it is an extension or not, you disagree with even the concept of the future.
Right, there's only now. Because if there's future, then there's got to be a past. If there's a past, then you're doomed to repeat it. So you've heard that before, haven't
yeah.
you?
But it implies we are going to repeat the past, because you're saying that we are going to fuck up the future. We've always fucked up things. 10%.
Well, relatively fine. Yeah, relatively fine. But still, you got to get to, you have to arrive. You're still talking about the road. The road.
Okay. And the way the road is the medium, I think.
Correct. It's what it represents. Yes.
Okay, so let's go forward. Was there something else that you wanted me to stop because you wanted to deal with that statement that the future is no longer just an extension of the present?
Yes.
Is it true that companies will shift into other things as their present company activity?
They already are. They already have. They already do. That's what Carolyn's doing right now.
So that's normal. Nothing wise.
Well, it's not for not. No, Carolyn's always stayed in the same old ruddy hole she's always been in. It's only now she's embracing a whole other construct or a new way of thinking and seeing things that's very delicious to her. So and that's what's happening, but it's only because she could do it all along. But it's still, he's saying that, but he's not including the termites or the house.
Okay. The termites, R-A-R-E, or the termites, our, O-U-R, house? What did you say there?
The and, termites and the house.
Okay, all right.
Because termites, as long as the termites aren't in your house, it doesn't matter. You don't hate termites, and termites aren't bad until they're in your house. So all these words that he's saying is going to make it better will until it makes it worse. And if you can, if the machine fixes it, takes care of it, then that problem is a benefit. It's a problem you've overcome.
What did you say? If the machine fixes it,
it's a problem that you have already overcome. The machine will overcome it for you.
All right. So you're saying you already overcome it, and you didn't need the machine to overcome it. Is that what you're saying?
No. As a God, you can have the machine fix it for you. Period.
Isn't that what he's saying?
No, he's saying that once you figure out the machine, then any problem that comes along, it'll have to be addressed, and then you have to do something. That's the difference. Because otherwise, you don't need, it's like Westworld, you don't need the people, just let them do it. Let them live it, let them have it, let them be it. You can stand on the sidebar and see how it goes. You see, oh wait, we don't want to give it away too much.
Okay. You said something there. What is he saying that's not what you just said?
He's saying that the notion of this machinery is supposed to help little man survive the increase. And he doesn't state what the increase is. That's why we're being nebulous about it. He doesn't say if it's up or down, good or bad. He says it's good until it's not. See, he doesn't include the either side. You know, you can recover from ass cancer, but that's not the problem. That's great. That's great news. But the problem is you got fucking ass cancer. That's the problem. But you overcome it is a great thing. Do you see?
Well, once you overcome it, you don't have it.
I understand, but you have to go through it to overcome it. And if the machine can overcome it for you, that's what we're saying. He's trying to say that you have to go through it, and it can be overcome with the help of the machine that you also have to create.
You have too many words.
Right.
Get off mute.
As a human, you want to be a god so that you don't have problems to fix. He just keeps saying you're going to keep being little men, create all your problems, and we'll let the machine fix them. It's a whole different premise.
No, he's saying it's going to be 90% positive. So what you just projected...
No, it's going to be 90% fixable. He
fixable,
doesn't allow that you don't have to have problems, period.
But you do have to have the machine to fix it all. So it will fix ass cancer, no problem. But that's good news. But the bad news is you got to get through ass cancer. That's what you don't want to do.
The machine will not help you get through the ass cancer.
It will, but
you
have to go through it.
It won't stop you from getting it in the first place. That's what we want to do.
Right, make
so
it where you don't have it.
Not get ass cancer.
You don't have to get over it if you don't have it.
So you're saying little man will have these problems even though the technology is getting better?
Yes, and how they're getting better is they're just making more dis-ease.
Dis-ease,
yeah.
Uncomfortable.
And you know that when you watch the CDC, they're in a little bitty room, and then they get to another bitty office, and then they get a great big office, and now it's like 4-square-mile building for the CDC. They've made all these new things they have to watch and catch and capture and isolate, hold and make slides and have agar and grow things out. You have to get really busy to stay as busy as they're busy.
The number one health words that were searched on Google in 2016 were Zika virus, which doesn't even exist.
Do you agree, Ian, that the Zika virus doesn't exist?
Zika is bad, and they're developing it. They're making it.
Yeah, so Carolyn, are you going to check what you just said? It does exist.
She's right. She's right. They're making it. They are creating. It doesn't exist, but they're making it. That's what happens.
Well, Carolyn, are you acknowledging that it will be made? You say it's not existed yet now. Does not exist because they haven't finished making it. But it will. You say, but they will make it. You say that, Carolyn?
They are making it, but I don't think it'll go anywhere because the human body will shut it down.
Okay. Do you agree with that, Ian? That the human body
will shut it down, but we're going to use it as a plague, and the thing that comes right after that, it's going to be worse.
Okay.
And that's what you're going to have to that's what you're going to have to apply drops to get over. Because see, at some point you have to add the trebler. This,
you know, we're living in an exponential world. The world is changing exponentially fast. Things that used to be science fiction are science fact. I mean, if you're a scientist, I apologize. I think in many ways you can say that it's probably overly optimistic. But some people, like this company in California called Human Longevity Inc., this is not a joke, actually exists, right? Their goal is to end dying. Right? And, I mean, they're from California, but still, you know, it's a serious goal, right? To end dying, to end aging, they've just raised $400 million so that we can all live to be 150 years old. If we have the money, of course. So this is something that's happened. We are at the pivot point of this exponential change. We're not at the beginning of the curve. We're at the takeoff point.
Okay, so we're going to deal with the human longevity. Are you aware of this company, Ion?
Yes.
And maybe there's some things you can't say about it in relation to us, but what they're claiming to do, stop dying, you would say, well, nobody does die, but we will enable you to stay in the physical longer. Is there something you would say that would correct what that human longevity company is proposing?
Basically.
Yeah, basically you would correct it. What would you do? How would you correct their goal? Alter it? Where are they missing the mark?
They're trying to get it from the little man's perspective. They're trying to survive it, and they can't survive it.
Okay.
You got to understand.
And our products help you make you ascend by default. Correct?
Yeah. Well, here's the rub. We say you are eternal already. Remember the future problem. That's where we started this conundrum with the future business. We say it's already settled. Now you're trying to catch up with what you already know. So that's why we sent you the CDC approved zombie apocalypse survival guide.
And what's the reason you sent it for us? Send it to us?
Because they're preparing everybody for the zombie apocalypse.
And this guy is trying to say, nope, it's going to be positive.
Well, let's suppose they think it's positive too. They're going to get cure the zombieism.
By killing them off?
No, by making them go back, reversed.
To what?
Humans, gods.
Well, you're saying they're going to do what we're proposing?
No, they're going to give you the representation of how to survive it, the zombie apocalypse. But you can't. See?
Okay, carrying on.
So if you're my age, you're going to see changes that are probably further out than anything that you've seen in science fiction in the last 20 years.
Taking that statement, we're causing the changes that are going to be further out than anybody sees. Correct?
Yeah, that's correct. But see, we're not working on disease. We don't care about disease. We think disease is great. We're trying to get you to ascend. And when you are ascended, you don't have lack of ease, period. So forget all this doctrine bullshit. We are not. Only those that are sick have need of a physician. So we don't need a physician. We need to get you ascended. And then once that happens, all that other crap goes away. It takes your house away from where the termites could be.
You don't give a solution on how, you don't tell people how to ascend. You just say, take our products, and that will put you in an ascension biology.
That'll get you so close to there, you move through the rest of it.
Right, okay.
In fact, many things depicted in science fiction are already becoming true, like automatic language translation.
Automatic language translation. What is not projected in science fiction, because that's a cliche what he's saying, science fiction lays out what's going to happen. What are we doing that is not in science fiction, and it'll be a surprise?
Captain, we're giving her all she's got.
That does not tell me anything.
Coldplay.
All right, so, and nobody understands our Coldplay. It's made up of ingredients that no one would project, so that's a surprise. But you said, Captain, we're giving all that we can.
Remember Scotty from Star Trek? Every time the captain gets them in some impossible bullshit thing, poor Scotty has to come back here and say, I'm Captain, but the dilithium crystals are exploding. I'm giving her all she's got. He's talking about the warp core. So that's what he does every time. I'm giving her all she's got, Captain. Well, that's what happens. You get to stirring up shit in those damn quadrants and make some death and disaster that gets everybody down the road to perdition or Whaleville, which gets Kellogg messed up more than they ever was anyway. Then you turn right back around and try to make that into something. Then you call us up and we say, Ion, and come on, we got to get us out of here. And we go, oh, Captain, we're giving her all she's got. So that's all we do is give it a little more juice. Pardon the pun. And allow you to escape those awful coefficients.
So the science fictions project bad scenarios. You're not projecting a bad scenario. You're just saying we solve the bad scenario they get into or is now?
Well, that they're creating, because we say it's not a problem. Your problem is you just move on. You just don't, if you get in the ditch, don't stay in the ditch, move on. So, in the ascension process, we say just don't get stuck there, move on, and you're good. And now it was kind of extreme about it, going out and shoot people in the head, but they did that.
Science fiction has laid out a lot of good news, bad news. And you, when I ask you what does science fiction miss, you say, well, we're in the trouble, we're giving all we can, it's not enough. And then you say Coldplay will be enough.
It does, it represents it, it fills that gap. Fills the gap. Because right now you're in a little bit of a tizzy because you're trying to make do. And that's all we're saying is that'll catch up very quickly.
That'll be a problem if you're just trying to make do.
Right. Well, no, that's all you can do. And that's what's happening. And he's saying the positive side is help is on the way. We would agree with that, but the help that we're saying is not the help he's saying. He's saying that a better maid is going to come sweep the floor. But the problem is you keep throwing shit in the floor, then you won't wash your hands. There you go. So we're trying to get it out of the floor. We're not trying to get it better up out of the floor. We're trying to keep it from the floor in the first place.
And we are doing that. We are doing that with our product.
You will do that. And you almost have. You got one more step away. Don't forget, can't talk about that right now, but we will talk about the grinding.
Okay.
Telepresence. Hologram. Are we going to be able to defeat cancer in 20 years? Through genetic manipulation? Possibly. But then we can also have superhumans. So who's going to decide how that's being done and what we're going to do? I mean, clearly...
Hold on.
Go ahead.
See, there's the rub. Now he's upset because he's making superhumans. And now he says, now who's going to decide who's super and who's not? Who will provide the grand design of what is yours and what is mine? Right. There's the rub. Right there, he's developing the perfect antiphonal position of, well, that's not right. We can't have that. We got to do this. Bah, 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 bah.
Okay.
Keep on thinking linear. And as humans, we have no choice. You know, we are linear. We are organic. We cannot live exponentially if we...
Well, now he's speaking for our limitations.
Well, arguing for them. He's arguing for them.
Yes.
If we do, we die. If we cannot just add information to ourselves, we're limited in that way. Humans are not exponential.
So there he is being positive about technology, but not about humans. And you're saying the humans got to get out of their humanness and alter themselves towards the godlike. And humans can't do that, but we're giving them the means to do it. So there is a difference there, Carol.
We're showing how it feels till they can do it themselves.
Right, right. So you get that, Carol? So do you see the difference between what Gerd Lenhardt's saying and what I am saying? Okay.
So what we need to do is we have to be able to imagine an exponential world. To imagine that. If you have kids, this is the most important thing you can teach your kids. Don't expect 5 years just to be a little bit further along. It's actually going to be, according to Moore's Law, it's going to be at least 16 times or 30 times as far. If you go on with the exponential curve, it becomes vertical. 30 times is a billion times as far. We're going to see computers in roughly 8 years that have the capacity of the human brain. In 2050, we'll have one computer have the capacity of all human brains. Imagine what we could do about smart at that point. We're going to have machines that have an IQ of 500,000. And they'll be as cheap as my iPhone, which is not cheap, but eventually it will be. So the future really is a challenge in many ways, because it's also not just exponential, it's also combinatorial. Everything that we see around us is happening now at the same time. So you could spend all your day, like I do, on looking at these things and combining them, and we have things like energy, education, smart cities, automation, connected healthcare, and there's like, the list goes on. And if you see it like this, if you put them together, they all influence each other. So if you talk about smart borders, smart cities, and smart logistics, you talk about energy, and you talk about politics, you talk about 3D printing, you talk about automation, you talk about AI, and it's all impacting each other. So that's actually quite a complicated topic. In many ways, you could say, it's like warp drive. Huh? Hit the button and it just goes boom, and you know, all of a sudden, all these things are changing. I mean, I used to be in the music business, and the music business is mind-boggling to see what has happened, you know, mostly because of the stupidity of the executives, but in general, the music business now, basically, you don't sell music anymore. Music is free. Well, if you buy Spotify, it's not free, but that's 21 million songs for €8. Yeah, we used to pay €25 for one album. Talk about warp drive. The music industry has to completely reinvent, because selling music is no longer a business. There you're very lucky with the port. Because it will be a long time before physical products evaporate. They may eventually be reduced by 3D printing and virtual things, but physical things will be there a long time. So it's much, much better than the music business to actually have a real physical outlet. But here's what we have to understand in terms of society. My book talks.
Okay, before he goes into his major statement here, what do you have to say about music is free, these kind
we
of issues?
We killed it. We said you're not charging for it. If your heart sings, it sings. We talked about that, Bob.
So he's seeing change happening in a nebulous, inky dark, let me say this, inky dark subconscious way, and he would probably not respond to us saying we did it. He would find that hard to accept. But he is accepting an inevitability, and you're saying, no, the inevitability is way more complicated.
Yes.
Now, he might say, well, yeah, I know it's going to be complicated, but he's saying that everything will be, tell your kids it's going to be way different from what you even think it's going to be if you're being positive. What is erroneous about that statement of how he's saying get used to exponential development? What would you add, correct?
He doesn't even understand what he's saying. He's saying words, but those words don't apply to anything. And what does that mean? What does the words he's saying mean? What do they apply? And you can't think of a thing because they don't apply.
Okay, so here's coming up to some chart here. I want to go back just slightly.
Take business and culture.
Okay.
For a long time. So it's much, much better than the music business. democracy actually have a real physical outlet. But here's what we have to understand in terms of society. My book talks about this elaborately. We used to be able to take business and culture and society and put them in separate places. So if you were a company, you were essentially an organization, technology was part of it, but everybody lived in their clean bubbles. And that changed about 5 years ago, and now we have this, right? Now we're living in a world where everything that you do has societal consequences, changes people's behavior, has impact on politics. It's completely all one thing. And that's the sweet spot, right? We have to get used to a sort of holistic vision of what that future does. For example, when we think about smart things, we have to think about energy. And I'll tell you a minute about
that. See how he brings it all back to where he was? See where he brings it back?
To energy.
See, now, it's nothing been about energy, nothing. But now all of a sudden, all the other thing is that now it was going to overrun you. The computers were going to get so smart by a billion,
yeah,
something to a billionth power, but now it doesn't matter because...
Now it doesn't matter because...
Because it's energy.
Now, our products deal with energy.
They do.
And now so we have to see what he thinks he means by energy. He should come back to energy, see what he says.
This is the question.
It's not a question for us, is it? The energy point. It is for
nope.
him.
Right. It's a problem for him because it doesn't work. Because all this calculating that he's calculating doesn't apply until you can set it, basically, till it can meld. You'll never make jello until you have a bowl.
That's his problem.
Yep, he can't find the bowl.
And we have the bowl, regardless of who believes us or not.
They don't have to. You don't want them to believe you. You hope they don't believe you, Bob. Because if they start believing you, then that becomes a problem. See, you almost went too far with the Trump crap. You're almost too clever already.
That's right. By the way, people, we put Trump in. Three of us, Carolyn, me, and Ion. We did it. And we almost went too far.
That's true.
Okay.
Let's slow it down a little bit. You know, let's get the dose that'll kill you, the prophylactic dose that'll kill you, and then back that off just a little bit. That's what we were with. That's good.
Okay.
I mean, I can guarantee you, if all you're doing is technology, you're becoming a commodity. I look at the telephone companies, the mobile operators. I mean, yes, they get cheaper and faster all the time, but, you know, they're a commodity, basically. So, how do you put the human inside? How do you make sure that there's human purpose? I think it's a big discussion that you see currently raging about how we will do this, because this kind of idea that has been around for a long time, you know, people, planet, profit, triple bottom line, as Jeremy Ruskin likes to talk about.
Stop.
That's it. Go ahead.
See, here's the rub. Listen to the words. This is how people turn a profit. Do you see how it's ridiculous? That
yeah.
you turn a profit. No, you don't turn a profit. You're in business to make money. If it makes money, then you're in business. If you're not, then you don't. You don't turn a business. You don't turn a profit. You allow the profit. You have an increase because you're providing a good or a service or a problem that you're solving. I mean, the grass grew. Is that so that the lawnmower man has a business to do? No. The grass grows because you want to have a lawn and you use the manicured system that they provide, whether that's with the Android name or not, to coif the yard to look a certain way that you decide. It's not the problem. But you see, now he's saying that you have to twist that into something, making the problem to make the problem, which is what Carolyn says is wrong with Big Pharma today. But we're going to turn that into another conversation, obviously.
We are going to turn into another conversation.
Yeah, and you almost have already, just because of the avant-garde way you handle things now. Some of the crazy things that we used to say, everybody, just the keynote speaker, what the keynote speaker was talking about, Carolyn was solving. in her questions was rounding out Ken's problem with,
okay.
With the machine. The machine was supposed to make it better, but it won't.
Don't go too
it.
Much. Hold it. Let's just stop. Okay, now.
I don't have the words, Bob. No.
Yeah. So, Ion, I'm starting the recording that's going to be published in the next 3 seconds. Then you state what you're stating there. Boom. Okay, here goes. So what did you say, Ion, to Carolyn in the part we're not broadcasting about the keynote speaker?
Yes, that what happens is the science that's being produced or that is replacing or moving out of his supercomputer machine. Because it always comes back to what you say, energy. Well, the energy is met with information. Information isn't power, but power is information. So it's basically the perfect storm in the Quoker quadrant, which allows Carolyn's work to then be the moniker to stand for what the Android Mean was trying to say, plus the power of the cloud that allows Coldplay to be applied. And it solves it. It's the part that's missing. He's missing it by all three parts. He's just talking about how nice it'll be one day, sweet day, when the computers are smarter than you, that they can put things up your bum. Oh, wait, yeah, that is the Quoker quadrant, isn't it, Bob?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's LaRouche. Oh, no, it's LaRouche. Oh, no, poor LaRouche. Okay.
Okay, so Gerhard is falling victim of what McLuhan says. He is hypnotized by the computer dynamic, his visions of how computers unfold, and it's going to be replaced completely by what we're producing.
Yes. The whole conversation will be obfuscated. You're fussing about the TV screen, and you're going to get rid of the TV.
Okay. Here goes the next part.
Yeah, Bob.
The second. I move forward closer to the screen. Okay. No, that's too low.
It's very low.
How do you put the human inside? How do you make sure that there's human purpose? I think it's a big discussion that you see currently raging about how we will do this and this kind of idea that has been around for a long time. You know, people, planet, profit. Triple bottom line, as Jeremy Rifkin likes to talk about. I think you heard it before, speaker. He's a good colleague of mine. And very true, he's been talking about that for 30 years. But finally, we're here. We're finally going to be at the point where people, planet, profit is a business model. I would suggest to you that basically sustainable is the new profitable. That's only 5 years away. 5 years ago, sustainable was a pain. And Bertolt Brecht once said a long time ago that dinner first, then morals. That's changing now. Now, digital ethics, what has to do with how we use technology, is becoming a centerpiece. It's becoming a big story. So I think it's going to be very important to look at this in the future. Now, quickly about energy. We heard this earlier, and I think many of you are in that business at this point. 84% of the world's energy is coal, nuclear, gas, oil, you know, fossil fuel.
See that percentage? What's your percentage marks?
You disagree with his percentage he just said?
No. We're saying, look how he's laying out that percentage of the world, and everything is about power. Everything, sooner or later, is about power. That's what we just said earlier in the thing with Carolyn.
Is he saying everything's about power or energy?
He's saying 84% of everything is. It's either nuclear or this kind of, that kind of, these different.
When he says energy, are you replacing the word energy with power? It means the same thing for you?
Yes, they are the same.
Okay, so you disagree with
only power, only, no, we're saying we agreeing it's going to be 100% in 1 second, but it's 80-something% now. And it's what he's saying, it's 84% of the world is about power, it's about nuclear power, or this kind of power, or kitty-cat power, or tic-tac power, or tic-tac power, or some kind of power. They'll let you grab people's pussy if you got tic-tac, according to President Trump. But anyway, a mouthful of tic-tac and you're good to go. So it's about energy and power. And that's, they are interchangeable, but now they're not always, because power is what you can use over people, not energy. That's your free part, Bob.
Yeah, you can't use energy, our Coldplay energy, over people.
You use power over people, not energy.
But you said power and energy are interchangeable.
Except for when you start applying it to God.
Okay. So I think you mean energy is not power when you talk power conventionally meaning
over
bureaucratic
people.
Control.
Excellent. Chaos and control.
Authority. That's power becoming authority.
That's right. Good for you.
Yeah, energy is power unless the energy becomes authority. And then that's the negative bureaucratic control via power. So
then you just smoking on purple, Bob.
Right. So he's, and when you say purple, you mean Fukushima?
Well, yeah, but Little Boozy talking about dope. But
right.
But we talking Little about Boozy. Fukushima.
Okay, so he just made this statement, 84%. You agree with it, but you're qualifying what he's saying.
Yeah, because he doesn't know what he's talking about, so that's okay.
Okay.
Delusions of grandeur are still grandiose, aren't they, Bob?
Yeah.
That's a positive statement. See, we kept it on the high side. We kept it on the sunny side of life, Bob, just for you. We did it just for you, Bob. We're giving her all she's got, Captain.
All right, here we go.
My work is really about observation. It's about observing the next 5 years and working backwards to help companies reinvent. Now, just to kick this off...
So his main purpose he just defined, you would spit on it, right? See what's going to happen next 5 years, then
specifically. Right, Ben Reekit.
They better be advised to talk to me than Mr. Leonard, right? Well, not even talk to me, I'll just show him. Just a second.
Basically, sustainable is the new profitable. That basically, sustainable is the new profitable.
Ion, do you agree sustainable is the new profitable?
No.
What is the new profitable, or you wouldn't even use the term profitable?
There's no profit. If you're giving it, it's like the price of pussy, Bob. If you're giving away for free, it's not profitable. But still, it'd be great if pussy were free, wouldn't it?
Right. So
it wouldn't be profitable.
We're creating a situation where it can be given away for free.
That's what the high school girls are doing.
Okay, so we'll end there for now. Okay, Ian? We got to get ready to go.
Happy to go. Happy, happy plates.
Well, thank you very much, Ian. That was really good.
And my 5 minutes was excellent. Thank you.
It was pretty amazing. It was, as far as they go, that was pretty amazing. It was excellent. And same bat time, same bat station, mañana.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Okay, that was recorded on December 12, 2016. So we will unmute everybody, and then we'll figure out how much to remute, who's too noisy and that. But we're interested in everybody's reactions. Okay.
All participants are now unmuted.
Okay.
I have a lot
of you, Roxy. Roxy yes. Had her hand up 3 times. She didn't know that we were going to play it for an hour. She wanted me to stop 3 times, it looks like. Wait a minute. I hope you made note of what you were going to say, Roxy. But I just want to say this, is that it's a really good speech by this top futurist. And there's all these executives, they show the audience, all these executives, you know, paying $1,000 to hear him. So we have this really high-quality speech within normal human mind-blowing terms, what he's saying.
Yeah.
Then we have fucking Ion illustrating another level. I think it's pretty awesome to take that tape and put Ion in. So what do you guys think?
Well, yeah.
The part about the Trump bashing.
Let's hear Roxy. Let's hear Roxy had her hand up, Bill. Let's hear what first point from Roxy. Go ahead.
Yes. From the beginning, from the word to the light, that McLuhan saw so clearly, the medium is the message. And in Kabbalah, they're studying this Genesis, and they say all technologies are in the words, and we can retrieve the whole universe from the knowing that is in the words. And they say the information is the light that we put in the covenant, and the light is the secret. So the retrieve of this power, like I said it in the recording, information is power. It's what the Kabbalists are trying to do, because they say God made a covenant and he promised not to destroy the world again if men, but they call them children, study Kabbalah. And they have the holy mission to transmit and to record all this direct knowledge from the I Am, and they cannot change anything. And there is the Kabbalist tradition, this ancient tradition, and also the Vedic tradition that haven't been stopped. Also the Brahmas believe, like the Kabbalists, that they have the holy mission to keep these records, to memorize all this knowing and keep it alive and pass it through the generations, and because all the knowing is there. And that's why I ask Kaya about the Nazis, because they were actually really very seriously looking into what Bob is doing. And like Ion said, instead of finding the drops, they thought the way to regain the complete superhuman powers was to breathe.
Be
superhuman.
Yeah.
And the yogis said the physical evolution stopped, so the only way humans could go on was through like technologies and yoga. And they had very specific techniques, very complicated techniques to gain what they call the siddhis, that are these superpowers.
Yeah.
And
the siddhis, SIDDHIS.
Yeah.
Yes, and these amazing capabilities have been always been documented. So these people that somehow arrived to enlightenment, that's why Siddhartha is called Siddhartha, because he had the siddhis.
Who did? Who had the
Siddhartha.
Buddha.
Oh, Siddhartha.
That's the name of his name.
Yeah.
And
Buddha.
Yeah, so in the Christian tradition we have the saints, and in the Orient they have the yogis, the gurus, and there's also these heroes. And it has always been documented, but it's like when you go into the Marshall McLuhan group, they're median ecologists, and they're studying what McLuhan was about. Actually, was his last book was called The Medium and the Light. So it was all this genesis from the word to the light. But they still believe, like this man, I don't know who he is, that the physical evolution of men stopped, and the only way to be enhanced is by really gaining some academic knowledge and through technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe becoming cybers and being machines. Then,
right. You're citing the esoteric wisdoms and disciplines, yoga, siddhis, Kabbalah, Christian.
Yes, because the thing is, like, they, for example, the Marshall McLuhan group, they attack you, but we're in a time where we should really take these things seriously. Like,
right.
They're not superstition or fiction or ignorance. On the contrary, I was reading, there is a French guy called Joachim Boufflet.
Yeah.
He works for the Vatican. He was proving the claims of people that are going to be canonized. He's called a postulator. And he's like the most rational person. And because of that, he really wants to know and wants to understand. And he goes and investigates all these cases. And he had access to the whole Vatican archives.
Roxy, have you actually met people that demonstrate these cities and powers? I have, and I've studied with some of them, some gurus and shamans, and Ion told me not to be impressed with all that crap. It said that this was glimmerings that one particular guru that I studied with was doing, and not to be impressed with it, that it was just crap. It was stuff that we could do already. So have you seen, or do you want to study with these people or learn these techniques of, you know,
yeah,
power?
Many people contacted me when I started taking the drops, and there was a guy from had been KGB from Russia, and he became a guru, and he claimed he studied with some teachers in the Tibet, and these people were like 250 years old, and these gurus have the mission to teach other people to be like them, at least one. That's why the gurus create these schools and sects. I believe this.
Well, right, but did you actually make contact with any of these people and sit and study with them? And were you impressed by all this, or was it, did you get something out of it?
Well, the thing, I was not impressed because I always knew this is something everybody should do or could do. And I always was interested in the saints and what they could do is also studied and archived and by the Vatican, and all these what is called the spiritual powers. I know. It's like we should all be able to do those things. So for me, before I started with Ion, I spent like 2 years waking up every day at 4 and meditating, and I was vegetarian. I was like, really? I said, like, I'm going to do these practices and see if they really work, because I want to do this. It's like, I don't see what would be any more interesting thing to do in this world than that.
Yeah.
Than regain your super, more than human powers.
Right, and so, now you are doing the most interesting thing in the world, and I've been through a similar path where I actually lived in some ashrams with some semi-famous teachers, at least three of them, and saw incredible powers and cities displayed and all kinds of non-physical crap. I met a sage woman from India that did some impressive things to me at the time that looked like miracles and divine energy and all this other stuff, and yet still, even after that, all that's said and done and witnessed, participate in these quote incredible things, to come back here to Iondom or Dobbstown and go hear Ion say, yeah, you don't really want to mess around with that stuff anyway, there's better things you could be doing, and that was just to show you how powerful you could be, or what real power was anyway. So you're in the most interesting place already, and those guys, those people, Ion told me that it's old school, it's not to bother with it. Yoga was bullshit, it was a waste of time. Did you get that?
I don't think it's a waste of time, because like they're in the outer kingdom, like the proof that what they're saying is true. Like there are some Tibetan yogis. One of the cities one gains is to choose when you transition. and they can go into deep meditation and they sort of mummify themselves, but they're still alive. They're still in a meditative state, and until their physical body decomposes and they become like rainbows. And these mummies exist. There is this statue that has a monk in